Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to De La Rue's preliminary results presentation. After a few words from me, Colin will take us through the numbers and then the operational performance in the past 12 months. I'll then pick up again and talk a little bit about the year just started and one or two aspects of the future. Turning first of all to the headlines for last year, we saw revenue grow by 6% to £513 million and operating profit rise from £63 to £90 million, an increase of 43%. Just to remind us, that number was £40 million in the year 2010-11. So we've seen an increase of £50 million over the last 3 years. I think very importantly, the operating margin improved from 13% to 18%. And as Colin will certainly touch on later, that's very largely attributable to the significant improvement in efficiencies we have achieved as a result of the improvement plan. Underlying cash flow was strong. We saw £99 million of cash flow by comparison with £73 million in the previous year. And in terms of earnings per share, they grew from 38.5 pence to 60.7 pence in the year just ended. And we are recommending a maintained dividend of 42.3 pence. The 12-month order book is good. It's about 5% up year-on-year. But importantly, we now have an encouraging sign of early orders for the following financial year, which gives us quite a lot of encouragement. Picking up one or two of the key features which will affect this year, and I'll come back to it later. The good order book, we do still see pricing pressure in the currency market, but we will achieve further operational efficiencies. The improvement plan has finished, but we know that there are more operational improvements to come, and we will secure them. As a result of these factors and one or two others, which I'll touch on, we are looking at unchanged expectations for 2014-15. So I'll now hand over to Colin, who'll look at the numbers first.
Thank you, Philip, and good morning. And can I just add to all people outside of this room a good morning, because I think there's a lot of people on the webcast today. We've grappled a little bit with technology, but I'm hoping that out there at De La Rue sites, there's an awful lot of our staff listening in to this announcement and the questions and answers afterwards. And of course, although Philip and I are presenting the numbers, there's a small army of people out there that actually do all the hard work and deliver these numbers in a real sense. So hopefully the technology is working and they're listening too. And then they must get back to work. So I'll take you through some numbers, quite a high level. You've had the detailed text and then the announcement and the headlines from Philip. What I should say first of all, though, is that where we talk about underlying, and you'll see that crop up a number of places on these slides, we really mean operating profit before exceptional items. And in one or two places, we then also make an adjustment for pre-IAS 19, the pension changes, because when we launched the improvement plan 3 years or so ago, it was obviously before that. So the numbers that we're sort of comparing against were pre-IAS 19. But overall, as Philip's already said, we think these are good numbers, not quite as good as we'd hoped when we set out on the three-year journey. But overall, I think really good progress going from £40 million to the £90 million. So a few things to point out on this slide. First of all, taxation. The rate in the year was an effective rate of just under 21%. We do expect that to come down again in the new financial year to just a little bit above 19%, reflecting the reduction in UK rates. But we have a blended rate with all our international operations. But we also benefit from the investment that we've been putting into this business in terms of capital allowances that we're getting, and our spend on R&D gets us tax allowances. But we benefit too from the patent box changes, where the government's encouraging companies such as De La Rue to innovate and develop IP and getting tax benefits from that too. Down at the bottom of the slide there, you can see in terms of print volumes, a very similar number to last year. Mix has changed a little bit, but I'll come back to that in a couple of slides. Paper volumes up 10% year on year, quite good progress. And you can see there, because the paper we've used internally for printing notes has been broadly the same, all of that extra volume has been into the external market, so paper sales either to State Print Works or to other manufacturers for them to do their printing on. And we've been quite tactical during the year in terms of trying to fill gaps. We've obviously got some surplus capacity, but gaps in our production schedule, we've been quite tactical in terms of trying to win tenders and orders for additional paper. It's not all good news because sometimes the margins can be quite low. Also, the costs of that can be quite high because with small paper runs, the changeover costs are disproportionately high on those small volumes. But overall, we think in a difficult market, we've done quite well on paper volumes. So here you've got the split between the business units. Revenue growth within currency was about 15% in the year, in the main driven by that volume increase. I won't take you through all of these numbers because we come back to these later on, but just a summary here. CPS or cash processing, difficult year during the year. You can see there that we made a small loss of £4 million. Security products has been there or thereabouts year on year, and a really strong performance from Identity Systems, which seems to have done the impossible. It's grown its profits and done that on the back of reduced revenues, but I'll come back to explain how that's been possible or been achieved on a subsequent slide. So our profit trail on the next slide, taking us the changes from 63 last year to 90 million in the year just ended. You can see that we've had a little bit of a fair wind on foreign exchange, £2 million benefit there. Cotton prices have gone in our favour as well, so a similar favourable adjustment. And other overheads, I'm going to come back to mix and improvement plan in a moment, but other overheads, so think across the group as a whole. We've made a number of initiatives to actually, outside of the improvement plan, to reduce our overheads. So a whole raft of, in some cases, quite small savings, but actually added up to quite a big number. So within mix, you can see there on the top right-hand side of the screen, we've tried to split out for you the mix and volume movement within the business. So although within currency, volumes have gone up, the mix effect has worked against us. Now, this is quite an odd one because actually the average specification of notes that we've produced in the year has actually been quite good and probably a little bit better than in the previous year. But the pricing of those notes hasn't been in line with the norm, so it's been a little bit lower. So the net effect of that, so volume up, mix net of that price movement has come down, so we've had a slight negative movement in terms of the volume mix within currency. CPS largely driven by a reduction in the number of large sorting machines that we sold in the year. And Identity Systems, a combination of a little bit of volume growth, but actually the benefit of the orders that have completed during, or the contracts that have completed during the course of the year have helped improve their volume mix summary that we've shown there. We don't split out, as you know, the two component parts between volume and mix because we think that would help our competitors, who obviously have access to this information on the website, a little bit too much. Improvement plan, Philip's already given you the headline number here. We've achieved a further saving as we anticipated when we set the scene this time last year of another £20 million, takes us to £40 million annualised cumulatively over the life of that programme. But you can see there all of the normal areas in terms of site relocation plan, procurement and process improvement. I'll come back to some more comments on improvement plan later, but there is still more to be done within these areas. So if those were the operating profits, what has that done for a cash flow? I think many of you are very familiar with the strength of the cash flow characteristics of De La Rue, but you can see there, third or fourth line down, that the operating cash inflow was £99 million in the year, so that was a good uptick there. You'll remember the half year we did predict that working capital would increase by the year end. So our work in progress at the year end was high. We were making paper and security components in the final quarter of the year to be able to print notes in the first quarter of this new financial year. So we were carrying that work in progress over the year end. That was about £6 million of that increase in working capital. And we had a lot of shipments went out. It was really quite busy in the final period of our financial year, so period 12. A lot of shipments made. The final payments on those shipments was received in the new financial year, so debtors were quite high as well at the year end, but that's largely reversed since then. There was about £11 million increase in debtors. So if that's the operating inflow, the £99 million, what have we spent our money on? Well, capital expenditure, £35 million of cash invested during the course of the year. That is not the same as the commitments that we've made. Commitments have been higher than that, about £10 million higher. If you remember, I think we said that we were going to be doing about £45 to £50 million of capex in the year. We've certainly been pursuing that, but not all of that equipment has yet been delivered and installed. So the cash out in respect to the spend has just been £35, but there's more to be done. And I think in terms of the guidance for the new financial year, if you plug into your models something around £40 to £45 again, you won't be too far adrift. My favourite thing to explain pension contributions, the special contributions that we make there to eliminate the deficit over the next few years. We pay in each year to the 31st of March about £17 million of additional contributions. We can get a benefit by paying a little bit before our year end and a little bit immediately after our year end. So that was the portion, the £11 million that we paid just before the year end. The balance, £6 million, went out on the 31st of March, which falls outside of this financial year because of our nomadic year end. We had net cash outflow on our exceptional items of £4 million. Two elements to that, the charges themselves that we've been spending money on, about £12 million of cash out. But we had a little over £8 million of proceeds from sale of surplus fixed assets, which I'll come back to on the next slide, which came in, which gave us a net outflow of £4 million there. So overall, net cash outflow of about £13 million, taking our net debt at the year end up to £90 million. We're still well within all our covenants and interest cover that we need to meet. I say that because we've got a few bankers in the room today, so we're comfortably within all of those. We do expect net debt to creep up a little bit during the course of this new financial year. So by the next year end, at the moment, we're forecasting net debt to be around about £100 million. It will be slightly higher than that at the half year, simply because we've got the final dividend being paid in August. So exceptional items in the year, you've seen the headline numbers in terms of what we've put through the P&L account, but just to give you a bit of analysis, I'll perhaps draw out two or three of these points. The improvement plan, so the final charges in respect of the improvement plan, £3.5 million in the year. That has brought the total to £35.2 million for the three-year improvement plan, so pretty much bang in line with the guidance we gave a couple of years ago as to what we expected the cost of that plan to be. But given the savings that we're achieving of £40 million, we think money very, very well spent. Gain on sale of fixed assets. So across the group as a whole, we've been selling off some surplus assets. It gave rise to the proceeds, as I mentioned just a moment ago, of about £8 million, and we've booked a gain on the disposal. The purists amongst you will say perhaps we've over-depreciated those assets. I think there is a little bit of an argument for that, but actually we take quite a prudent view in terms of our depreciation rates. We'd rather be in that position than under-depreciating. The big item, though, is within CPS. So we're required each year to look at our business units and the carrying value of assets. The one where we've had a matter to address this year has been within CPS. So the outlook there for that business, although better, we're trading off a loss last year, £4 million, and a target of break-even for this year. And when we look at the cash flows, it actually became quite difficult for us to carry largely the intangible assets for historic goodwill and product development to carry those on the balance sheet any further. So we've taken what we think is a sensible and prudent approach, and we have impaired those assets. But the important thing is this is a non-cash item, so it's just tidying up the balance sheet as we're required to do under the accounting conventions. Down at the bottom of the slide there, you can see largely because the asset impairment doesn't get any tax relief, the tax credit on the exceptionals is quite modest at just under £1 million this year, but we have released some provisions for historic tax matters, largely related to disposals and warranties, tax warranties that we gave on those disposals some years ago. So those surplus tax provisions have been released. They were charged to exceptionals previously, so they're coming back through the exceptional line this year. So if I may, I'll now move on to go through some of the operational issues. So looking at the slide on the overview, I won't take you through this now because I think most of you are familiar with, or hopefully familiar with Delarue and what we do. This slide is mainly geared at or focused at non-holders of shares in the business to explain what it is we do and give them a bit of a context. So moving straight on then into the currency business. These are our normal charts in terms of market share. We've updated them a little bit just in terms of the increase in the market size with the tons of paper and notes produced each year. But actually, the market hasn't changed that much. And certainly, our market share within that hasn't moved and has been remarkably stable. If anything, we think it's gone up a little bit. But I think for our purposes today, you should say that we're enjoying the same market share as we have over the past couple of years or so. But clearly, as Philip's already touched on, the market within currency remains challenging, particularly within paper. There is still the overcapacity in the paper market. You can see on the bottom right-hand side there where we've tried to look out at the ongoing, as we estimated and anticipated, issuance of notes continue to grow at a compound rate of about 4% each year. But for the more hawk-eyed amongst you, you will see in 2015 there is a slight uptick in terms of the number of notes being issued. Unfortunately, that's unlikely to benefit the commercial sector. That's where a large country, the state printworks for that country, are, we understand, producing a new family of notes, which will distort these numbers a little bit. But as I say, unfortunately, I don't think we're expecting any of that to fall to the commercial market. Moving on to the order book, as Philip's already mentioned, we have got a good order book and some early orders for even going out into 15-16. But if you look at the chart on the top left-hand side, I think you're familiar with this chart. We've used it for the past two or three years now in terms of the rolling average. Never ceases to amaze me. Despite it being a rolling average of our orders, it's still very volatile, which reflects, you know, the sort of truly lumpy nature of this, this business. But what you can see, if you look halfway between the March 13 and 14 markers there, you can see a significant uptick in terms of the volumes of orders that we received. Sadly, those were quite low margins, so it hasn't dragged up the profitability or the contribution line as we ordinarily would have expected. They're quite high-spec notes, but because of the pricing pressure, they're not at as high a price as we would have ordinarily expected, and therefore the profitability line has been left a little bit below where we would have expected. Bottom left, you can see the overspill market in 13-14 has been pretty good. So those bars reflect the orders placed by our customers. On the right-hand side, you can see the overspill orders that we've actually shipped during the course of the year. So slight mismatch in terms of timing there. But in 13-14, a good market for overspill. And we actually got slightly more than our market share of that overall overspill demand during the course of the year. So we were quite pleased about that. But you can see our estimate for the new financial year is quite a bit down. It's always a bit of a dark art trying to estimate these things, but that's our expectation at the moment. So moving on to the solutions business. CPS, as you know, incurred a loss in the year, has been disappointing for them, largely driven, as we say there, by the a lower level of large sorter sales and also some reduction in service revenues, but it's mainly been driven by a reduced volume of sales of these large machines. We have already restructured this business. It's got more focus now with a really dedicated team addressing some of the challenges within that business. Good progress has already been made in terms of taking out some and eliminating some costs and taking action on costs. Indeed, if you look at the run rate of our losses in the year just ended, in the first half we incurred a loss of £3 million. In the second half it was just £1 million. So the actions we were taking last year were already starting to help, but we're confident that we can actually get that business back to a break-even this year. But there is work to be done there to achieve that. Security products had a good year. Largely, the increase in profit here was largely driven by the improvement plan and the benefits of consolidation of the Dunstable site up into Gateshead, so some economies that we achieved through that. This is quite a mature business, though, and I don't want to overstate this, but if you see there, I think we've listed the sort of products that we're producing within this business. So postage stamps, checkbooks. When did any of us last write a check, I wonder? And labels. So they're nice businesses, but they are quite mature, and actually if you look out over the sort of medium to longer term, you'd say in decline. What is a more exciting area for us is within government revenue solutions, tax stamps, and Philip will come back to that in a moment. But that is a good growth opportunity for us. And then finally, within solutions, IDS, really good year. As I said, it has done the impossible. It's grown its profits on reduced revenues, but the revenues in the corresponding period were flattered. We had the rollout to the UK regional offices under the UK passport contract, so generated quite a bit of extra revenue, but very, very low margin. So that revenue hasn't been in the business this year. And equally this year, in terms of operating profit, we have these numbers are flattered by an unusually high number of within the international part of the IDS business, high number of contracts being completed, where we tidy up and finally strike the profit for the contract overall in the final period. And that has benefited us a little bit this year, to say the least. In the bottom right-hand corner, you can see the top 35 commercial passport contracts. And again, if you can look at the colours on your slides or on the screen, you can see that we have three out of the four largest contracts in the commercial market. We are now the largest producer of passports in the world within the commercial sector. But there's a huge tail that keeps going on to the right here. This is just the top 35, and we have nine out of the top 35, but we're looking after about 45 plus countries at the moment in terms of their passports. So we participate in a long tail going out to the right. And just because they're smaller doesn't mean they're not important. Clearly, they're very important to the country's concern, but they're important to us as well. Because although they're smaller volumes, the margins can be quite good, and we are enjoying them at the moment, a really good period of winning new business. But these contracts come along in cycles. Often they're placed for 5, maybe 10 years, and therefore you can't just sort of bowl up to a customer and say, can we do your passports for next year? You have to wait until one of their renewal cycles. But we continue to make good progress. And again, it's one of the growth areas that Philip will come back to. So finally, for me, the improvement plan. Yes, the improvement plan, the three-year plan, was completed this year. We think it's been a great success for this business. You can see there that on the cost side of the equation, on an annual basis, we've achieved now £40 million worth of savings, not just through taking costs out, but just being more efficient in terms of the processes we're employing within the business, through buying our raw materials better and more professionally, and some benefit from the site relocation. But fantastic amount of effort within the business, actually, to deliver these improvements and savings. And clearly, in terms of revenue growth within the improvement plan, that has been a bit less than we'd expected when we first went into it. The market and the headwinds have been against us. Not going to make any excuses for that, but it's just the way it's turned out as it happens. But we hope we can see some growth there over the next few years. But really, the numbers here only tell part of the story. When Delarue had its production issue back in 2010, which was the real catalyst for the improvement plan and everything that's followed, the board and the senior management at that time was absolutely determined that coming out of that issue, Delarue would be a better company than when it went in. And these numbers, I think, demonstrate financially we're in a better place, but it is much, much more than that. Fundamentally, this business is really in a much better, sounder position than it was 3 or 4 years ago. We are better equipped. We've invested heavily. We've got a better R&D program. We're spending more on R&D, and we've got a really good pipeline of R&D opportunities and innovation coming through. There's greater professionalism and focus on meeting the customer's needs rather than perhaps at times historically we might have taken things a little bit for granted. But actually, tremendous focus within the business in terms of cost, delivery, and quality. And although you might think it's a little bit of management spin to talk about an embedded culture, it's absolutely true. Within this business now, there is a mindset of willingness to make further improvements and get even better. So this, although the three-year program is over, the ongoing work will do exactly that. It will carry on and be ongoing. So it's really important that we and you don't lose sight of the fact that there are further benefits to come from that ongoing work, albeit now we'll be outside of any grand improvement plan. So, if I may, I shall hand back to Philip.
Thank you. Thanks, Colin. What I'd like to do, first of all, is just to give you a brief view of some of the key factors which will influence profitability in the year ahead. First one, turning to the order book. As we've said, the order book is a good one, but of course reflects the pricing pressure that we see in the currency business. We're looking to target break-even for CPS by comparison with the £4 million loss that was achieved last year. But the identity systems business will revert to a more typical contract profile, and some of the gains that we saw in the year ended will not be there. But as Colin has rightly pointed out, the operational efficiencies will continue to come through from this business. We are in a great deal better place than the business was before, and there is more to be had. As a result of the mixture of all of those factors, our expectations for 2014-15 remain unchanged. Looking longer term and some of the areas where we would see growth for the business coming, I'll go through each one of these individually. In the currency, it's both the whole market, its technology and its polymer. Solutions focus particularly on e-passports and government revenue solutions. And underpinning everything, continuing investment in flexibility, in responsiveness, and that is partly through capital expenditure. And just to remind you, the cash spend on capital over the last 3 years is well over 100 million. And there is more to come if we believe it's appropriate. And we will continue to strive and drive for operational excellence. So let's look first of all then at currency, the focus on the whole of the market. If you look at the central box, central banks, that's where most of our revenue comes from at the moment. It comes from the design through security components to the substrate print. The area which we have not focused on significantly hitherto are the two right-hand boxes, the state print works and the state paper mills. We do sell some paper direct to state print works. What we have not done in the past is focus strongly on seeing if we can get our security components adopted by state paper mills and state print works, and we shall be focusing on that. Although in revenue terms the numbers are not big, this business is profitable, and of course is very high tech, and as and when we can persuade people to adopt our product, it's likely to be within their banknotes for quite some time to come. Underpinning all of this, I point you to the very bottom box, design, consultancy and innovation. Over the course of the last 2 years, De La Rue has designed 40% of the world's new banknotes, a huge number. We are market leader by distance, and by any measure, our business is world class. And this again obviously provides an entree for the rest of De La Rue's currency business into customers we might not have served in the recent past. So we see a significant opportunity. I would stress in all of this, of course, that the opportunity takes time. Countries do not change their banknotes, issue new series of banknotes every other year. So it is a long, slow process, but one we are determined to drive hard down. Technology, as Colin rightly said, we have significantly upped the game in terms of technology. We've built our new centre, we have increased manpower, and we're accelerating our programme of technological spend and development. We've introduced recently a number of new security features, which obviously are patent protected where appropriate, and again, these we look to see introduced into our customers' banknotes in the near future. At the bottom right-hand side, the various aspects that we have introduced in connection with our drive to significantly increase our share of the polymer market. And the next slide will come on to talk about polymer. If you look first of all at the pie chart, you can see that polymer in the last 12 months took about 3% of the global substrate market. And historically, there has been just one supplier. There are now two, De La Rue. is number two. We introduced our polymer product into the market in 2012. Since then, we have secured 9 customers and 10 denominations of banknotes, and we're looking to increase significantly. We're investing time, money, effort into growing our business here. Some of you may notice last week that Clydesdale Bank announced that it was issuing next year a new polymer commemorative £5 note. Well, in fact, De La Rue designed that and produced the note, and this will be the first polymer banknote in Great Britain. So an important growth business for us for the future. But don't hold your breath in very near terms in terms of the profitability this will produce. This is a business for the long haul where we determine to succeed. Turning to solutions, first of all, looking at the identity systems business, we see that the growth area is very much in e-passports. There is a significant trend worldwide towards e-passports. Mostly those who have implemented them already are the developed Western countries, most of whom do their own. There's a lower level of adoption within the commercial market, the market that we and our competitors serve. It's an attractive marketplace, it's a growing marketplace. It is more complex, it is higher tech, and therefore it is more profitable than the more conventional old-type passport. Government revenue solutions, again, a significant opportunity for us. And this largely is around, at the moment, tobacco and alcohol, tobacco being particularly important. Under the auspices of the World Health Organization, the FCTC, as it's called, the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, was adopted by 178 countries with the view to trying to restrain the growth of tobacco. Within that, they created an illicit trade protocol to try and stop smuggling. Of those 178 countries, 53 have so far signed up. Once you've signed up, you have to do something, and you have to seek to find a way of reducing smuggling, illicit import of goods into your country. The benefit of you for a country, of course, is that you will significantly increase your own taxes and duties. So there will be a continuing drive to increase the number of countries which will sign up to this, and that will provide us with business opportunities in this area. The culture, as you've heard from Colin, the culture of continuous improvement is well and truly embedded within the business. We will continue to invest. We will continue to achieve operational excellence, and the cost base will be lean and efficient. So, in conclusion, we believe the results are good. Recall, we've been on a journey from 40 million to 90 million of operating profit over the last 3 years. Continuous improvement is embedded, and we do see significant opportunities within our core markets. Looking at 2014-15, the factors I've mentioned lead us to the view that our expectations for the year will remain unchanged. One thing I've not touched on in this presentation is CEO recruitment. Just to tell you that we are well advanced in the process. We have a short list of people whom we are working our way through. I have nothing to announce yet. I don't know quite when I will be doing, and I can't give you much more guidance than that, but we are on the case and we're getting on with it.